Hey, everybody. All right. Sounds like a golf tournament in here. What's up, everybody? Hey, I hope you're doing good. Happy Sunday. Thanks for choosing to invest your Sunday here at Church on the Rock. I would love to welcome you. If you are a first-time guest, I would love to just be probably the 13th, 14th person that said, welcome, you're awesome, we're glad that you're here. Come on, church, would you give it up for all those that are here for the very first time? Really love you guys. Appreciate y'all being here. Want to welcome those of you that are tuning in online. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. I love that the technology helps us to remain close no matter where you are. Maybe you're traveling, on vacation, living in a different state or a city. It's just awesome to be connected with you. So thank you so much for being a part of the service today. If you don't know me, my name is Josh. I have the privilege to serve as the lead pastor here at Church on the Rock. You guys are like the joy of my life. I love what I get to do. And so I want to take you today into a second installment of a series that we've been in called Not By Might. And this is really the theme for our church right now as we are investing our time in a focused season of 21 days of prayer. And I just want you to know something, that like, people hear 21 days of prayer, and that does not mean that Church on the Rock only prays for 21 days. What this means is that we emphasize and focus our energy in prayer for 21 consecutive days. And what we do is we host daily services. So we host services on Sunday mornings. You're in that one. And then each night over at our kids' campus, which is right across a little street right here, we actually own some property and some buildings. We just kind of have outgrown them, hence being here. And so each night from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., we are over there praying. And I just want to encourage you and invite you, if you've not been a part of one of those prayer services, I would really encourage you to come and join us. I think that you would like it. Now, I get it. It doesn't work for everybody's schedule because of work and kids and family, and that's okay. So I don't want anybody to ever feel guilty, but I just want you to know that if it's something that you could do and you just haven't done it, I would really encourage you, come engage in a time of prayer with us. I think that your heart will be moved. I think that you will grow. I think your time in prayer will deepen, and your connection to our Heavenly Father will get closer and closer. And so I just would encourage you to come and be there. And then if for whatever reason you can't get to the building, we live stream those services during that hour. You can find that at our website. You can go there, and then they archive for the next 24 hours until the next one begins. Sound good, everybody? So we'd just love to see you there at 21 Days of Prayer. So I want to get into today's topic. Can we do it? Yeah? Okay, good. Thank you. So we're using this verse. This is our theme verse for the season that we're in. It's found in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And the Bible says this. This is a word that's being spoken to someone who has a task from the Lord. And the Lord is saying to this person, hey, it's not by might, and it's not by power, it's not by your abilities, it's not by your strength, it's not by your strategies, it's not by your efforts that I'm going to move, but by my Spirit, declares the Lord. And so what we've been talking about as a church is this idea of like not by might. I just want to be transparent, if I may, and be honest with you that too oftentimes in my own walk with God, I'll have an issue, a challenge, a worry, a struggle. Something's going on. Maybe something that I need to achieve or do, a task with a deadline, some form of expectation on me. And I'm just guilty and being honest about my guilt that sometimes I will think and strategize more than I will pray. And when I do that, here's what I'm doing. I'm trying to do it in my own might, and I'm trying to do it in my own power. But when I step out of myself and I get before the Lord and I say, God, I need you to do for me what I cannot do for myself. I need you to empower me. I need the giftings that you've given me to go to work through me. Father, I need your favor, and I need you to move in this situation. What I'm doing is stepping out of my might. It's not by might. And I'm stepping into the power of God to move in my situation. And so we're challenging our church right now that, hey, let's be intentional to get away from ourselves and out of ourselves and say, God, we recognize that it is not by might nor by power. It is by your Spirit, declares the Lord. And so last week was the first installment of this series. Titled that message, Ain't Afraid of No Ghost. That's what I called it. Because if we are going to talk about the Spirit, if I'm going to do things by the power of the Spirit, I think it's imperative that we have an understanding of who the Spirit of God is. And if you missed that message, I'd love for you to go back and check it out. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on our website. You're smart. Google it. You'll figure it out. You'll find it, and you can watch it. But I'm going to summarize it very quickly for you. Here's the big idea, the one-liner of last week's message is this, that the Holy Spirit is not an it to be afraid of. He is a person to be embraced. Amen. That is a good amen opportunity, and some of you guys just hit it perfectly. Well done. It's just true. But what happens is that I think that people get a little bit of a nervousness or a fear of the idea of the Spirit of God. And so we're totally confident and comfortable with God the Father. Like, okay, I get it. Like, he's in charge and he oversees it all. And then Jesus the Son, yeah, okay, he died on the cross for my sins and he paved the way for me to have a connection to that Father. But there are some people that push back on the idea of the Spirit of God. Like, yeah, no, I'm good. Like, I'm good with 2 out of 3. That's the majority. It'll work for me. And what I'm here to tell you is that isn't possible. We need another, I'm going to set you up for another good amen moment, right? We need the Spirit of the living God at work in us as followers of Jesus. Yeah. It's just true. And so today, I want to go a little further into this, if that's okay with you. And so I've titled today's message, Swim Lessons. Swim Lessons. That'll make a little bit more sense here in just a few more minutes. But follow me. We're going to go to a portion of scripture we started here last week, and we're going to go back to it again. And what I'm about to read says he and they, okay? So he is Jesus, they or them are the disciples. And so we're going to go to Acts chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 4 and read verses 4 and 5. And the Bible says, once when he, Jesus, was eating with them, the disciples, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised, as I told you before. Verse 5, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about this today. And this, by the way, I'm gonna do everything I can to just make this comfortable for everybody in the room. Because this is a little bit of a hot topic in the church world. Some of you guys are very aware of that, and some of you guys had no idea. This is a little bit of a sensitive subject. This can get people kind of at odds. There's that people can disagree just a little bit, and there's some of you that this phrase, you're like, yeah, man, baptized in the Holy Spirit, let's do this thing. And then there are others of you that are like, I don't want any part of that. Some of you have an experience with what that maybe looks like in your life. Some of you come from a background where it's supposed to look a certain way, perhaps, and then others of you are like, yeah, because of that way, that's why I'm like, yeah, I don't want this. And I'm just going to be honest with you today. Can I be really, really honest with you? I would love as a pastor to be able to write these words off as a denominational thing. But I can't. It's a biblical thing. It's in my Bible. And so therefore, I can't ignore it as such. And so I want to talk about it today. I want to unpack it a little bit. And I want to go into it in a way that I want to explain to you for the first time in my life as a pastor that I have stood on a platform in front of my church and explained what I see as baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to know something, that my research on this began in a very unique time in my life, in a very unique place, in 2005. So this is not something I studied for a week. Some of us know where we were in 05. And some of us, it's not like a week's worth of study and I'm ready to preach. I've been digging into this for years and years, trying to say, God, what does this look like? What does this mean? And how is the church supposed to understand this phrase, baptism with the Holy Spirit? Are you guys ready? All right, the first thing I want to do is I want to offer some disclaimers. May I do that? I'm going to offer some disclaimers, okay? I want to say to you, first of all, that I am not an expert. I am a student. Now, I recognize that I am called pastor and I lead a church, but you have to understand that being a pastor does not make me special. It does not make me unique. Being pastor simply identifies what I'm responsible for. It's true. I'm not better than anybody else. It just identifies the call of God and what I will be accountable for before God. So I'm a student of the Bible. And so what I'm unpacking today is what I've been studying now for years. But hey, honestly, as I continue to study Scripture, I could continue to learn and think differently because I just want the Word of God to always inform my thinking and my living. The second disclaimer that I want to say is this. You today, everybody in this room, everybody tuning in online, everybody listening to a playback or watching a playback video version of this, you have complete autonomy and the total right to completely disagree with me today. You can disagree. Does that sound okay? I actually believe that you and I can disagree today and walk hand in hand, arm in arm, in the front lines as a church and continue to fulfill the mission of our church together. Amen. I believe this with all my heart. Church on the Rock is a non-denominational church. It's one of my favorite things about us. Non-denominational, meaning that we don't really live in the boxes of denominations. We just live in the freedom of Scripture. All right. So let's take some swim lessons today. Are you ready? The first thing I want to do is I just want to define the word baptized. And you're going to see it on the screen, but it literally means this, to dip repeatedly, to, this is my favorite synonym for baptized, to immerse, to submerge. It means to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water, to wash oneself, bathe, or number three, to overwhelm, to be baptized, to be immersed in the Spirit of God. And this is what Jesus said to the disciples, I want you to be baptized with the Spirit. And so I want us to all build a picture in our minds. You're going to be creative today, everybody, okay? We're going to have our creativity at work. I want us all to picture in our minds a swimming pool. Can you do it? Can you see it? Now listen, I'm going to set it up a little bit because I'm not talking about your brother-in-law's swimming pool. I want you to imagine a swimming pool on a much grander scale. I want you to make the thing grow enormously. It's going to be very, very large. And over here on one side of the pool, we're going to have some maybe shallower waters. There's going to be some nice steps, like some entry into the pool that just stair step down into the water. It's going to gradually get deeper and deeper and deeper toward a deep end. Along the sides of the paths of this pool, there are swim out areas where you can just sit in the water and you can kind of relax in certain locations. And then as you get a little deeper, it just goes more to the deeper end. And then over here on this side of the pool, I want you to imagine some slides, maybe some rock ledges and waterfalls, diving board. Get creative. It's your picture. But I want you to imagine this large swimming pool with a lot of things going on. Can you see it? Do you have your pool in your mind's eye with me this morning? I want you to see it this way. And here's what I want you to imagine is that in this pool are all kinds of people. And we've probably all been to the resort pool, right? Been somewhere, you've swam in like a public pool or some grandiose pool like I'm talking about right here. And you'll notice that there are different kind of swimmers in the pool, isn't there? There's some people, you guys can talk back a little bit, it won't hurt me, but there are some people in the maybe more in the shallow end, and their goal is just to sort of hang out. They just want to stand around in a circle and feel the water, and they just want to have some conversation and just enjoy. Man, if water feels good, it's hot outside, it's so nice. And then you're going to have some other people sitting out in the swim out, and they're more kicked back and relaxed, you know what I mean? Something with an umbrella in it, and they're just having conversation, enjoying their time, right? And then as you get more toward the deep end, you're going to have some other people that might be going down slides, and they're splashing going on. You're going to have some of those people that they're just jumping off rock ledges and cannonballing into the pool. Maybe they're jumping off the sides of the pool. They're splashing. Some people, they just want to see how long they can hold their breath. How long can I be underwater? Can I swim from one side of this thing to the other and do it in one breath? Come on, where y'all at? Like some of us swim like that, right? And we're in the pool, and the activity that we have in the pool looks various and different. And listen, have you ever gone to a pool? This is probably a loaded question, but have you ever gone to a pool and been judgmental about the way that other people were swimming? I haven't. Some people want to be in the swim out. Now, I know, some of you guys are mad. I can't believe these kids are splashing. It says no diving on the sign, but our pool, you can jump down there. I just want y'all to know that, okay? You can jump in that pool. I've never been to a pool and said to myself, I can't believe those kids. They're swimmies jumping off the edge. How dare they? And I've never been in a pool and said, I can't believe those people sitting in that swim out enjoying those drinks. I can't believe it. That's not me. But somehow in the church, that's how we swim. And I don't understand it, to be honest with you. It doesn't connect in my mind. And the reason that it doesn't connect in my mind is because I don't see it connecting that way in the Bible. And so today I'm going to unpack some things that I believe about our pool, because I want you to imagine that some people on this side of the pool, they're just a little more conservative. That's just maybe their personality. Maybe they're super active in their work, and this is vacation, and they just, man, all I'm here to do is chill. But then there's other people that all they want to do is just jump and have fun and splash and just, man, how many flips can I do, right? Come on. And we all are different this way. And so what I want you to imagine is that the pool represents the body of Christ. So if you're in the water, you're in the Spirit. But I also want us to recognize that we all swim a little differently. And I want us to say to ourselves, that's okay. It's okay. Because if you prefer this side of the pool, then you're looking down there going, man, those people are radical. Holy cow, what if they hit their head on the edge or something like that? Man, this is a little scary, man. I ain't going down there because there's too much waves and too much wake going on. I think I'll just relax down here. But then again, if you're on this side of the swimming pool, you're thinking to yourself, man, you guys are boring down there. I mean, why would you just want to sit? I mean, look how high this ledge is. Swim underneath this waterfall. It's incredible down here. And if you can understand that one swimmer has a certain preference, while the other swimmer has a certain preference. And I would like to submit to us today that the way that we swim in the pool is not determined by us. It is not determined by preference. It is not determined by what we've been taught or how we grew up or the influences of any church. That the way we swim in God's pool is based on how the Spirit has fabricated us. The Bible says that God forms us in the womb. Like, he knows us by name, and he knit us together, and he puts us together, and then there's a reason for it. We like to say it like this around Church on the Rock, that you were designed on purpose for a purpose. So some of you have certain personalities, certain interests, certain things. Your personality is more reserved and laid back. Others of you, it's a little more radical, it's a little more edgy. And that's how God put you together, like in the womb. But then the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit determines how he will give us giftings. We'll dig into that a little bit more next week. But the giftings of God and the usage of those giftings, they look different. And they live out differently. And I actually believe that your design and the giftings that God has given you are paired together, and that determines how you swim. I would like to be very bold here. May I? Okay. I don't believe that baptized with the Spirit means that you have a certain gift or giftings. I actually do not believe that every follower of Jesus should have any one particular gift or giftings. According to 1 Corinthians 12, I see where the Holy Spirit determines what gifts he gives to the church. So when I think about the pool of the Spirit of God, my favorite part about it is that no matter how you swim and no matter where you are in the pool, let's do it carefully, you can be immersed anywhere. I don't have to do a cannonball to be immersed. I can be in the shallows just talking with my friends and just say, it's hot, and be immersed. I can lay down in a swim out. I can jump off a rock ledge. I can go down a slide. I have the freedom to swim anywhere in this pool that I want to swim. But some of us, I don't want to be down there. It's not who I am. It's not what I do. I swim down here, and this is what I like. And I think that some of the contention and some of the frustration between the body of Christ is that because I like to swim one way, everybody should want to swim this way. And because I was gifted to swim another way, everybody should swim this way. And I think that's dangerous. I think what God wants us to do is walk in our giftings. The definition of baptism is some of us in our lives and our walks with Christ, we're going to dip repeatedly. And some of us are going to just be immersed. Man, I'm just, how far can I go? And some of us are a little more radical and we just want to jump and backflip and cannonball and do all those things. And then some of us will experience an overwhelming moment sometimes. Can I tell you a quick story? Just about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks, I don't know. It was sometime between yesterday and when I was born. We were over at my wife's, my in-law's house, and they have a swimming pool. And my nephew was holding my wife's like third cousin, cousin's grandkid. I don't really know how it works, but he was holding a family member, little guy, and his name is Knox, okay? And like the cuteness is overwhelming, seriously, it's unbelievable. And Knox is just a little guy. I don't know how old he is. I should have asked this before. How old? Oh, he's three. Okay, I got some family over here. So Knox is three. And Knox was wanting to swim in the pool. And he was sufficiently, covered in flotation. All right? Swimmies on the arm. He had this thing that goes around. The whole things were, connected together. I mean, if he had drowned that day, it would have been a miracle. You know what I'm saying? He was good. He was totally buoyant. He wasn't going to be under the water. And so I'm coming out of the house just as my nephew is holding Knox at the edge of the pool. Now, I don't really know what transpired prior to this, but I know that my nephew is holding him like this, and I hear Knox's dad say, "Send it." And so Trace, my nephew, he does. He just goes, whoosh, and he throws Knox into the pool. Knox hits the water. Completely submerged, water over his head. And when he comes out, the look on his face was like, "I don't know what you just did to me. I did not appreciate that." And he's just crying. I mean, he is just crying. Which, of course, my nephew's laughing because that's his personality. Dad is over there laughing because that's his personality. And I'm standing there like, poor Knox. That's, I didn't get any of the pre-roll. I just saw the motion happen. And then my nephew finally was like, "All right," so Knox is settling down now, he's starting to sniffle, and then my nephew's like, "All right, come on. And then all of a sudden, little Knox is like, "I kind of like it in here. Kind of nice." And all of a sudden, he doesn't want to get out of the pool. He just wants to stay in the water and swim. And in that little story, here's what I put together, okay, is that Dad knew. All he's got to do is get in there. And once he's in there, he ain't gonna want to come out of there. Now he was being a three-year-old, like that whole thing. And he was trying to just ease me in. He wanted my nephew to just ease him in the water. Ryan's over there, like, "Send it." It was overwhelming for Knox. When Knox came out of that water and balanced out just a little bit and then looked around, he recognized, "I like it in here." And here's what I knew, is that his father knew best. May I submit that our father knows best? I don't think that God's throwing every one of us into the water and letting us cry a minute. I think God knows that some of us just need to ease down the stairs into the Spirit of God. I think that God knows that some of us are just a little bit more relaxed and tame, and the giftings that he wants to give us and the personalities in which we've been built with are going to be more on this side of the pool. And then there are others that we just, I don't want to feel it. I just want to jump in. Like, if I feel it, I might think it's too cold, but if I jump in, it's too late. And that's just the way we are. And our Father knows best. And the thing that I love the most about it is that we can go deep with God anywhere in his pool. This is how I see baptism with the Holy Spirit. There's some things that I believe. They're going to hit the screen. And the first one is this, is I believe that God wants everybody to have salvation through Jesus. I think it's his hope for the world. I think it's why the church exists. I think it's the point of what we do, is so that those that don't know Jesus can meet Jesus and experience his power. I also believe that God wants everyone to be immersed in the Spirit. To be immersed in the Spirit. To be baptized with the Spirit. This is what I believe. The Bible tells us this in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. It says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires." Excuse me. "But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." What I'm trying to say to us is that I believe that no matter where you are, no matter your background, No matter what you've been taught, no matter what you've seen, no matter where you what you've experienced, no matter how you see the Spirit of the living God, my call to you is this, that you would simply go a little deeper with him all the time. To just think about the things of the Spirit. To dip, to immerse. Maybe for some of you, it's a little overwhelming, but life-changing. Maybe for others of you, you just find yourself a little deeper now than you were before, and just a little deeper now than you were before, and just a little deeper now than you were before. And so here's the question. I think that there should be a question and an application today, or I believe I've wasted your time. And the question that I think people would be asking is, why would I want to be immersed or baptized with the Spirit? And the first reason is this. Because the Holy Spirit gives us power. This is why I should want to be baptized with the Spirit, to be immersed in the things of God, to constantly have more of the Spirit of the living God at work inside of me. This is why I should want this, because the Bible says that the Spirit of God gives us power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive, say it with me, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's an empowering thing. It strengthens us when we have the Spirit of God. And some of us have this empowerment of maybe it's faith. You just are the type of person, it's like a gifting that God has given you. And you have faith at a measure that many people around you, they simply don't have it, but you have it. That's your empowerment. And that's the way that God wants to use you. And so maybe your spouse is the one that worries and panics and freaks out all the time. And you're the one that's like, God's got us. He is going to take care of us. God is going to move and provide for us. And your gifting brings balance to the waters in your home. Some of you have an incredible gift and an ability to just share Jesus with others. It's easy for you. You can make everything about Jesus. You just have a way of talking about him even with strangers. I mean, everybody that knows you knows that you love Jesus because there's an empowerment that the Spirit of God has given into your life for you to express your hope in him, and you want them to know him too, and you're just so excited about it. And the giftings go on and on and on. It's an empowerment that is given to us. And I know and I recognize that some people, you're afraid of power. My nephew, he's standing right there, and he's on the camera. He rides dirt bikes. And he had this one recently. It was like a 250. And he just sold it or something, and he got another one. And anyway, he had a 250 dirt bike. And the homeboy can ride a wheelie for days, man. It's cool, right? And so he had this 250 dirt bike. Now, I grew up riding four-wheelers. You give me a four-wheeler of any kind, I'm game. Let's go. But I didn't grow up riding two wheels. I was four. And so he asked me multiple times, Uncle Josh, you want to ride it? Uncle Josh, you want to take it for a ride? I don't want to be that guy that everyone's making fun of on YouTube. You don't know what I'm talking about. Like me, and you're just running into the house or the fence. Like that. I was like, nah, man, I'm good. I'm really, it's cool. Just enjoy it. It's got a clutch and all that stuff. You know what I mean? I can just imagine myself dumping it and just being on my back, and then the bike's 50 yards down the driveway or something. I don't know. I'm not saying it would happen. I just know it's possible. And he would ask me over and over, Uncle Josh, you want to ride? You want to ride it? You want to ride? No. You're good. Go ahead. Ride it. Show me what you can do. And can I be honest with you about why I wouldn't ride it? I was a little afraid of the power. I don't know about that. Man, that thing's got a lot. I don't have enough experience, and I don't know if I want all that. And I think that there are some of you that, because maybe you don't have the experience, and maybe because you've not seen the power of God work in ways that maybe are even attractive to you. Maybe you've seen them kind of expressed in ways that are like, I don't want to swim like that, right? Like, I don't know about all that. That it causes you to be apprehensive about the way that God wants to use you. And here's what I want to suggest to you. Don't be afraid of power. Now, Owen got a new dirt bike. It's got a lot less power. And he was like, Uncle Josh, are you going to ride this one? I was like, yeah, I'll probably take a turn on that one. And let me tell you why. It's because I'm a little more comfortable. It doesn't quite feel like it's going to overwhelm me. I'm not saying you won't see me on YouTube hitting the fence with it, and I'll fix it if I do, but I'll try it. And let me tell you what, and I'm like a radical guy. Like, I'm not afraid of, I like to be challenged and on edge and all that kind of stuff. But to be honest with you, when it comes to a dirt bike, I'd rather just start with a little power and then grow into a little more power. And some of you are the exact same way in your journey of faith and your walk with Christ Jesus. While others of you, you're like, let's go. I'll wheelie that thing right now. Put me on YouTube. I'll hit the fence. Let's do this. Where's the next jump? I'm taking this thing 40 feet in the air. I got this. And it's just the way that God designed you. And listen to me, everybody, that's okay. He did that. It's His design that does that. Don't be afraid of power. Embrace it. And however it is that God wants to give you His power and gift you, for some of you, it's like Knox. And others of you, hey, I just let me get accustomed and acclimated to the water. You see here, I got a little umbrella. I'm doing great, okay? And if I need to get in the water, I just lay down a little. That's just cool because I think that's how God did it for you. The verse goes on, though, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Listen to me. It doesn't say so that you can operate in any particular gifting or look any particular way. He gives you power, and you will be my witnesses. Can I just tell you what I believe? The reason that the Holy Spirit of God wants to give you His gifts and He wants to put His power in you is because He's trying to advance the most important thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the entire world around us. I believe that the Holy Spirit gives us power, and I believe that the Holy Spirit gives us power to be a witness. That's the point. And so let me say it like this. Let me say it like this, because I'm not here to like bash denominations. That's not my thing. That's just not how I roll. I'm all about the Big C Church, the body of Christ. Come on, let's go. Let's go in advance. Like, that's just who I am. But I've got some background. Some of you have some background. I've got opinions. I've got thoughts, you know, all that kind of stuff. But let's just suppose for a moment that the denominational church in St. Augustine today that's way on the conservative swimming side of the pool. And then conversely, you've got the other church denomination that's way on the other. They're on the radical end of the swimming pool, and they host services today. Let's just suppose that they started at 10 a.m. this morning just like we did. And one church in their entire experience together swam a certain way. It's just the way it was today. And let's just suppose for a moment that the other church also met at 10 a.m., and in their entire experience together, they swam a different way. That's how they did it. That's how they swam. And let's just suppose that in this church and in this church, somebody who did not know Jesus when they walked in leaves today with a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in each of these churches. Here's my question. Who was wrong? Because, listen, everybody, it's just me, and you have the permission to disagree. But that's the big idea. The big idea is that we are empowered to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world around us, that people can experience the hope of Jesus, that people can walk in a relationship with their Almighty Father, that people can immerse in the presence and the power of the Spirit of the living God on the inside of them, and they can embrace how God's designed them and how God's gifted them, and they can utilize those things to just be a witness to the world around them. And so rather than my swimming preference in conflict with yours, what if we just recognize we're all in the same pool? And it's okay if you swim differently than I do, because I believe with all my heart this is how God has designed it. Final statement as we close. This is my encouragement to you, that no matter where you are in the pool, let's commit to become more immersed in the future than we are today. No matter where you swim, no matter your preference, whether you're radical, going down the slides and splashing, Whether you're tackling your buddies into the water, because that's how y'all roll, or you're just on the third step, knee deep, just knee deep. Some of you are sitting here this morning, you're thinking to yourself, I don't even know what you're talking about, all this background stuff, denomination, don't make no sense to me. I've never been in church, but I'm in the pool. I'm in here. I've given my life to Christ Jesus, and the Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of me. But okay, Pastor, I'll go from step 3 to 4. I'll go a little deeper because I want a little more of what God has for me. And then all of a sudden, I'm just a little deeper and a little deeper. Hey, what if wherever we swim and however God's designed us, we just commit that, Spirit of God, I'm always willing to go deeper. I'll always go where you want me to go. I'll immerse from anywhere in the pool that you've blessed me to swim in. Does it sound okay, everybody? Amen. If you disagree, that's perfectly fine with me. It's perfectly fine. But my challenge to Church on the Rock is that we just pursue the Spirit of God at all times. Set our minds on the things of the Spirit so that we would live like the Spirit. Hey, every head bowed, every eye closed for a moment, please. The first thing that I want to do is I'm going to pray twice. And the first prayer is that I would like to pray over you, wherever you are, however you swim. I just want to pray over you. And I think the prayer is the same for us all. So I'll start with a covering prayer for you, and then I'm going to give an invitation to some others of you. So, Father, I pray for every single person in our church, all of us. God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you would help us. Help us, Father God, not to be afraid of your Spirit, not to push back on your power. Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that we would not be afraid of some spirit that we see as an it, but rather we would embrace you, the person of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that no matter how you've wired us, designed us, or gifted us, Father, no matter where we swim in your pool, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you would simply help us to be willing to immerse ourselves in your presence more and more and more. We just want more of you. Help us to think less about the flesh and more about the Spirit. Help us, Lord God, to just be saturated with you, I pray. In Jesus' name. Now, if you would, keep your heads bowed one more moment and your eyes closed one more moment. I want to invite those of you, maybe today, you're here, you're listening, you're watching, you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. I've never done it. But today, the power of the Spirit of God has moved your heart, and you say, that's me. I want to get in the pool. I'm just ready to get in that water and experience this amazing love that I feel, this drawing that I have in my heart toward God. And if that's you, I'm going to invite you, if you would, to say a prayer with me. It's very simple. All I'm going to ask you to do is repeat after me. This is an important moment for you. This is your moment with God. And our church family, we're going to rally around you and we're going to support you. We're going to say this prayer out loud with you so that you can say it with confidence and with boldness today. This is your moment. We do this for you. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together. Celebrate those that made that decision. Congratulations, congratulations. Hey, stand with us if you would. We're going to finish our service today worshiping together. Love you guys.